Well, hello everyone. Come on in. Let's see if we can get everybody in here. This is the How to Feel the Hard Stuff call. How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating. We tend to talk some about how to basically feel your feelings and what that looks like and why feelings are important and why it's okay to feel them. And then sometimes we talk a little bit about the nervous system, where we have a feeling that's kind of got us a little hyped up or a little slowed down. Anything goes. We can talk about that, but that's pretty much the tack we'll take is, how we can name an emotion and then how it feels in our body and how we can create enough safety within ourselves to feel our emotions without having to distract from them by eating, drinking, all the things. So if you want to be coached tonight, please raise your hand. I'm here for, an hour or so, and I would love to talk to as many of you as want to talk to me. I do have an announcement though, very, very important announcement that you may have already heard, but I've been told to give it again. It is September 2nd, 2025. For the month of September, every person, yeah, drum roll, right? Every member who uses Ask Coaches is put into a drawing for one free month of private coaching. We really want you to see the benefit of using Ask Coaches. Okay. It's like a coach in your pocket. You can ask people in the Facebook group stuff all day long. And a coach, if they see your question, will jump in there and answer. You can crowdsource all day long. I would use Facebook as the place like to ask for the best recipes for, having people over or when do you make your plan? All that kind of stuff. But if you have like a burning question about, I can't seem to stop it enough at dinner. How can you help me? I would take that over to Ask Coaches in a hot second. In a hot second, because we have the capability in Ask Coaches to have a back and forth conversation, almost like a text conversation, right? So if you're not using Ask Coaches, I would ask yourself why. Why are you not using this amazing free benefit in the membership? I'd remind yourself that it's anonymous. We can see who you are. Only for safety reasons, or if we need to send your question. So, y'all, sometimes we get and ask coaches, I can't download the private member podcast. I'm going to tell you something. Kathy Hartman is not a private member podcast expert. You don't want to be asking me that. I barely got mine up and running. But Keith, Corinne's brother over in support, he's your guy. So sometimes we pull some of those more technical questions out of Ask Coaches and send them over to support. But beyond that, nobody knows who's asking you, who's asking what. Becky says, does it have to be weight loss related? If it is causing you to overeat, or if it is hurting your quality of life, absolutely. You can ask us anything. Candy is loving my hair. Thank you. I got a haircut today. It will look normal tomorrow because I can't fix it this good. Let's just say that. I don't have the right angles. But if you seriously, anything you need coaching on, go ahead and shoot it over there and ask coaches. We're here for you. And remember, all it takes is one. All it takes is one, but use it more than that, y'all. All it takes is one question to get you entered in for the drawing for a free month of private coaching. Okay? All right. I have one hand raised. There's time for at least three of y'all. So let's raise some more hands if you want to talk. And we will get started with Kelly. All right, Kelly, promoting you now. Let's make sure you're going to come see me. Can y'all hear me okay? Think you can. Here she comes. Awesome. Thank you. Hello. You got to unmute.
Sorry.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad to be coached tonight. This is my first time, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Welcome. I'm often people's first one. I'll just say that. Just because I don't tend to yell and scream and I'm pretty low key, so
Okay.
you want to get started easy? I'm your girl.
That's good for me. Yeah. I've been with no BS, for several months, and oh, my light keeps going off. I
That's
have
okay.
a light on the side. Let me see. It's a little bit better. It keeps getting brighter and then darker and brighter and darker. I took a little bit of time off because I was in the hospital. I had some gallbladder and pancreas issues. So I'm trying to get back in with the program. I struggle sometimes with making a plan, and I struggle with feeling like I really like if I don't eat something, it feels like almost on the inside, like, oh my gosh, the opportunity's never going to rise again, which I know is crazy, but and I also struggle with eating when I'm upset. I have PTSD from some experiences that I've had, which causes anxiety and depression. And I take medications for that. And I still have a lot to process with the PTSD. And I find myself when I'm just full of emotional stuff, find myself going for the chocolate, and then it's, the pretzels, and it's almost like it's, I don't want to say a panic situation, but almost I feel like I need something really. And I thought, okay, what other behaviors could I substitute for that? And I haven't come up with any that feel as good as snacking, but it doesn't last. You have to keep snacking in order to, get that dopamine or whatever it is.
Or enough a distract of a distraction to bring your nervous system down or something. Let me ask you this first. Are you seeing anyone, a therapist or anyone for the PTSD, or are you finished with that? You are. Good.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Because they're going to be able to help you like heal that trauma from the past. Okay.
Yeah, we're working on that, and the person that was involved in it is a family member, and I still have contact with this family member. It's my mother, actually. And there's a lot of things stemming from childhood that's gone straight up, and just a lot of triggers being around her.
You said the magic word I was going to say next is what coaching can do, what I can help you with is anticipating a trigger and planning for it. So for those of you in the back, a trigger, you tell me first, when you're at home base, you're probably at home base right now. You're feeling pretty settled, pretty calm.
Lately, because I've gone, limited contact.
But right now, in this
But
moment,
right now in this moment,
feel pretty safe, pretty calm.
well, I just ate some chocolate before coming up here.
Yes, they answer the question.
A little bit,
A little nervous because
a
you're on
little nervous.
paper, but otherwise pretty okay.
But I'm not like in the middle of a panic attack
Right.
or in the
When
middle
you're
of,
triggered,
where.
do you go like panic fast, or do you feel it coming on and it comes on slow and then you hit panic?
It's kind of like under the surface, and it's just like bubbling up, and I feel like I don't know where to go with it. I don't know what to do with myself. Do I sit? Do I stand? I can't focus.
So
It bubbles up.
when it starts to bubble for me, I can hit panic and be and go like if my car gets hit, I'm gonna panic immediately. Okay, I'm gonna tense my
Yeah, I
body's
get
gonna
that
tense up and all that kind of stuff, right? But I can also feel anxiety begin to build in my system. Right? It's like a slower, if you think of the nervous system as a ladder, and right in the middle is home base where you're feeling pretty okay. When something happens and you start to feel anxious, or you're thinking about the future, or you're thinking about the past, and you start to feel anxious and you start to feel yourself climbing the ladder, to me, that's a little bit different than moving from the middle straight to the top with skipping all the rungs.
I do both.
Right. Right. So understanding that there's a difference there can help you because if you're taking the slow train up the ladder, then you're feeling the energy build. That's a key to you that you can do something that will help you feel better. Okay.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna make some notes. Slowly
Yeah. So
anxiety.
when you're at home base, your conscious brain is online. Okay, your thinking brain is online. You can make decisions. You know, it doesn't feel hard to, you know, it doesn't feel like a struggle, right? When you're way up above at the top rung of the ladder, above home base, your survival instinct is online. That's why you get foggy and fuzzy and can't make a decision because your survival instinct is not a decision maker. It's a survival, you know, making sure that you're safe from whatever threat has come.
And it does feel like survival sometimes when I'm snacking.
It
It
does. It
really does.
probably does. So whatever your body wants to stay, your nervous system wants to stay calm and regulated. So if you're way up here in survival instinct and you're cramming the chocolate in, that's because that's all you know to do. That's all your survival instinct knows to do. And as you're doing that, you're slowly coming back down, aren't you?
Yeah, it does. It does come back down. And, I hadn't differentiated between, like acute anxiety, and I probably don't snack as much with that because I'm so anxious. But when it's, either going slowly up the ladder or I've come down a little bit, but it's still fairly high.
Yeah. So
So.
that's where I was going next, which is fascinating because you're staying with me here. When you go slowly up the ladder and you can feel the anxiety start to build, your conscious thinking brain is still online and survival instinct is over here on the side going, "Do you need me? Do you need me? Do you need me?" They're like both there. Okay? And the further you go up the ladder, the more survival instinct comes to the front, and your conscious thinking, decision-making brain is like, "This is too much for me. I'm out."
I
So,
can actually think of times where that's happened, and
yes, it's fascinating, isn't it? So,
yeah, and the
your
one that
thinking,
wins out is the, do you need me? Yes, I do. And it's
yes.
so easy to grab the M&Ms.
So, if the thinking brain is still present, as you go up the ladder, you get to make the choice between eating or doing something else. Okay. And it might be wrapping up in a warm blanket. Have you ever done that to feel better?
I
You
do
ever wrapped yourself
sometimes.
up? Mm-hmm.
I've tried the one with the heavy beads in it,
Yeah. 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 The weighted blanket.
weighted. I can't do that, but I can do like a regular blanket.
Yeah.
So,
Sometimes when your energy is increasing, what you want to do is either comfort yourself or burn energy. So sometimes going for a walk helps. Sometimes stepping out in the sunshine helps. Sometimes journaling real quick helps. Using you know, real hard journaling, working out some of that energy helps. What you do to either stabilize that energy increase or to start bringing it back down is something you should practice over time so that when you spring straight to the top rung, your brain has something other than eating to try. Because eating is in the habit cycle, it's in the survival brain.
yeah, and that's where I go. And I wasn't always
You
like
have
this,
practice.
but I started to deal with some of the issues. This
So
is
if
become
you've
a habit.
practiced wrapping up in a blanket, or you've practiced calling a friend, or you've practiced journaling, or you've practiced, you know, going to ask coaches or calling your therapist or something like that, then the more you practice that, the more that option shows up in your survival instinct, especially if it's something that works.
So I would practice these. I think what you're saying, if I'm understanding, is practice them before I'm in the midst of.
Before you shoot straight up.
Okay.
Okay, so you practice them now when you feel pretty good. Practice what makes you feel good, what makes you feel comforted and warm and soothed. And then if you see anxiety build, then you go in and you go, okay, I love wrapping up in a warm blanket, or I know I, you know, taking a walk. I'm telling you something. I get anxious, and taking a 5-minute walk in the sunshine always helps me. It burns just enough energy to pull me back down so that I don't go eat. Okay.
Try the wok, because when I've tried like cleaning the house and things like that, that just, I don't know, it uses the energy, but I still am nervous after it.
Tried music?
I haven't, and I like music, but
Yeah. Music, singing to the music always helps. Breathing, like deep, like really deep breaths. So I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sitting in the pew in the church, and I start that ugly cry. I mean, where your face scrunches up and you're going like this. And I thought, I've got to stop this. I've got to stop this. And I thought, I put my hands on my legs because that's a havening touch, a soothing touch. I rubbed them just a little bit, and I made myself take deep breaths. And taking the deep breaths, my face unclenched and the tears were still coming, but they were just, it wasn't like ugly tears. It was just like little tears. So anything like that that burns energy and calms you is what you want to practice now so that when you hit that panic button and you go straight up, you have something else in that habit brain that will help you come back down. Okay.
that's a lot of good suggestions because, in the moment, I really hadn't thought through what else. And the ladder really is helpful because if I can get low on the ladder, because I'm always waiting till I'm up here and, either crying or just so anxious that I can't focus, can't sit, can't do anything, and it just it's very frustrating. Yeah.
Conversely, if we're at home bases in the middle of the ladder, when energy decreases in your body, you start to feel low, sad. The same thing happens. You go down the ladder. You can go down slowly, or the bottom can fall out. And that's when you want to increase energy gently to bring you back up. But most of us, I mean, I'd say probably 60 to 70% of the time, we're going up that ladder because we're worried, we're anxious, we're upset, we're angry, that kind of thing. The energy is high in our bodies. But when you're like low and down and sad and depressed, you're actually
I've been
going
there too.
down.
Yeah. So you want to be mid? I'm drawing myself a little picture, right in the middle.
Yeah, if you go to the website and you search, just search Kathy with a K, and you
Okay.
look through what comes up. I think it's June 3rd. I do a presentation about this with visuals that might help too. Yeah, it'll help you. It'll help reinforce it for you.
And I have to admit, I have not been as faithful as I should, being on here and, listening, and I've been kind of floundering really
That's
a lot.
and that's okay. You're figuring it out. The fact that you came here today helps a lot, I would think. And it shows me that you're trying to figure it out. Now let's talk real quick about struggle with making a plan.
Yeah, that's a
Let's why do you struggle with making a plan?
I was trying to figure that out, and I'm not sure. I think it has something to do with, I think, I might put a lot of stuff that isn't helpful, and that's not good. It's a value judgment on it. Part of the time I think, oh, I don't really want to plan. I just want to eat what I want. I just, because that's the only reward. I feel like there's some days that are just hard.
Okay.
Between dealing with, my mom and dealing with the health issues, some days I just plain forget.
Okay.
It's really kind of like avoiding it, and
Okay. What if I were to tell you, I'm going to give you a pass. I want you to use the Quick Start Planner and just write down at the end of the day what you've eaten and why.
okay. I got to
Okay.
go on page two. Yep, so.
So for the first, when members are in their first 30 days, they're given the Quick Start Planner. And if anybody wants to see how to use that, go into the Facebook group if you're a Facebook member and look for the daily planning thread because two of the coaches are using that planner right now. And it's basically a planner that has you write down what you ate, and whether you are hungry or are enough. It just helps you kind of start to see trends in what you're doing.
I think I'd like to do that, yeah.
If planning is too much right now, that's okay. But actually looking at what you ate can show you a lot. Where do you find it on the website? Go to, I think it's Quick Start. Let me look real quick.
Now, I did that at the beginning and I'd started out really well, but the whole health thing kind of threw me off and I haven't been able to get back on. So I didn't think about that either, going back to the quick start and,
It's under courses, Quick
under
Start. Yep, it's in the courses menu.
courses. Okay.
If you can get in the habit of just paying attention to what you're eating and whether you're following hunger and enough, you'll start seeing where the work is that you need to do. And
Yeah.
eventually you'll get to where, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, you're already planning because you have things in your house.
Yeah, I have some things. I'm thinking some of the things, not planning well, but
Well, yeah, but it's not a judgment call at this point. It's just getting used to looking at what you're eating. Okay. Whether or not, I mean, you could probably look at what I ate today and go, ha, how come she's a coach? Right. You could have a judgment call on some of the things I eat. It doesn't matter. What matters is how are you taking care of your body? Are you eating when you're hungry? Are you stopping at enough? Are you eating foods that actually nourish your body? And why?
yeah.
When are you overeating, and how can we help you with the overeating piece? That's all we're looking for when we look at those what you're eating, okay?
I'll have to especially pay attention to at night because at night is where things hit me. I start thinking, about things and
So at night is when you want to preemptively wrap up in your blanket or take your shower or connect with a friend, or do you have a dog? Do you have a dog
I
or
do. I have a dog. Yeah.
Gosh, love on that dog. There's no better co-regulator for your nervous system than a pet, right? Because pets just want to be loved and they love you back. A dog probably looks at you with great big eyes, go, please pet me, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
she does. Yeah, I enjoy that. She does make me feel better, just having that warm.
Yes. So that's one of those things you need to put in your toolbox for when you start to feel the energy build and when you start to leave
On page one,
is
dog.
grab up that pup and start loving. All right, I've given you a lot.
Well, it is. It's good. I feel like now I can kind of come back because I've talked to somebody. So.
Okay, so I do this call every month. So, and I'm in as coaches periodically. So let me know how you are, what you're trying, what you are learning about yourself, what comforts you. I want you to have some follow-up with me, okay?
Okay. If you do ask coaches at Kathy, are you
All
able?
right, just put my name in the, for Coach Kathy in the subject line. I'll glance through there each day and look for it. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really been
Well,
helpful.
you're very welcome. And I work with in private coaching, I work with someone who has PTSD and sees a therapist for it. And she loves the fact that her therapist says she loves the fact that she does this work in no BS with the nervous system while she's doing the therapy in P for PTSD. So it really does marry well. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You take care, okay? All
Thanks.
right, bye. Maureen says, you said you do this call monthly. Is it the first Tuesday of the month? Usually, sometimes it flips, but it's always on the calendar. How to feel the hard stuff without eating. Okay? Michelle. I will say Coach Lisa also knows quite a bit about the nervous system. So either one of us can help you with this. And we do, well, obviously we're in the Yes Coaches, but we both do private coaching too. Michelle, can you turn on your video?
How do I do that? Start video.
You got it.
Ah. Oh.
Okay. Hi. I don't know why I've been avoiding this call because it probably is the best place to come to. But I've been kind of in the doldrums for a couple months now. I mean, actually a couple months. My mom had a stroke about a year and a half ago, and she lasted a year by herself. And I came every month from Hawaii to Santa Barbara to help her. And then finally, we talked her into going up to my brother's house, and she finally decided that was something she wanted to do, and she did. But as soon as she got up there, her health just went down like nobody's business. And I came a couple of times to visit, and she passed away on Easter, or right around Easter time. And then I went and took care of all the. I have two brothers, but for some reason, I was the only one that took care of all the celebration of life. And it kind of just all fell into place. Everything came out perfect. So I wasn't begrudging them or anything else and stuff like that. But by the time I got home, I just, all the wind had come out of my sails. And
Thank you.
the only thing I could do was go to practice because I competitively paddle a canoe. And I go to practice, come home, and I absolutely do nothing. Nothing, nothing. My husband had come home and he goes, "How was today?" And I'm going like, I really didn't get anything done. And he's been just patient, because things have piled up. And so I finally wrote a letter to Lizzie about it, and she told me to breathe. And actually, I think just writing the letter helped because I don't do much journaling at all. But I found a therapist to see, and that was hard because my insurance, not everybody takes this particular insurance. And then she told me to get a psychiatrist to get my medication checked and to be checked for ADHD. And so that's been a challenge to just get up and get on the phone and do those things because I finally started getting on my walks with my dog. My poor dog, thank goodness we have a big yard, but I just wasn't taking her anywhere. And my plants are starting to die because I haven't watered them. And
So, tell me how journaling helped.
somehow it got it all. I mean, it got what I'd been holding on to. I felt like I was able to finally tell someone and then put it out on what I told her was pretty much what I told you right now. But it just after I sent it, I just there was a sense of relief. And when she said her answer to me right then, she goes, "The first thing I want you to do is breathe, and do the." And it was funny because I had been doing that when on driving home, just that type of breathing,
Does that
and
help?
that seemed to, it calmed me down, but I have anxiety to the point of where I just sweat, and when I was working, I'd like a half an hour, 45 minutes before I'd go to work, I'd just break out in a sweat, and I'd be that way until about a half an hour after I got to work. And so I had a dermatologist give me some pills to help me out to kind of cut the sweating down. And she said, "When you stop working, that should be pretty much alleviated." But and I've retired for a couple of years now, and it really has helped. But now I see it coming back.
So when you're grieving, many times you have very low energy, right? But that's anxiety is high energy. So can you connect the two for me?
somehow, or do you just go up and down? Do you just have big swings?
Well, now that I think about it, when I was doing zero, just sitting on the couch, I wasn't really having those sweating attacks. But now that I've gotten up and started doing things, that has kind of started to bubble up.
You think the sweating attacks are hormonal or are they due to anxiety?
I don't know. I'm 72, so I don't know about being hormonal.
Probably not. God, you're 72, girl. You look good.
Oh,
And I get an amen.
thanks.
Wow, okay.
I don't know if it's hormonal anymore. I mean, I've had breast cancer, as you have too, and I've had to take estrogen blockers for about 10 years, and that created what hot sweats stuff. And so I was like, yay, I don't have that anymore. And but it
So
kind
that actually met, how long ago was that for you?
that was probably about 25 years ago now.
Oh, okay. So you're already settled from that. Okay.
Yeah.
So back to the grieving and the low energy. Do you feel like that is starting to come back up, that is rectifying, or do you still need help with the low energy and the grieving part?
Well, it seems to have actually since that letter, it really seems to, I just kind of went, okay, you gotta get, let's start with walks. And I know from Lizzie, she always says, even a little bit counts, you know. So I just go up to the corner and back, you know, and our corner is pretty far where I live. But my dog was more than happy with me. And so then, you know, I did that for a week, and then now I'm making it longer. And then I started back with water aerobics,
Okay.
and that's
Oh,
been really
good.
be in the
You
water.
and you've taken that at the right tempo because when you're grieving and you have low energy, you want to add energy back slowly. Okay. So it's not like when you're grieving, you're going to go run a marathon. Just walking to the mailbox can feel like it's hard. But once you do that a few times, then you can walk a little bit further. And now you're doing water aerobics. So your energy is probably coming back up, which is a good thing. That doesn't mean the sadness goes away or the longing or the missing goes away. It just means you're tolerating it better. You're able to feel it more, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems to be that way, you know, and I don't have those long periods of just sitting, you know, and I see myself walking around doing things, and then all of a sudden I just want to sit, and I'm going like, you know, if I do that, that could be like a long period of time, so let's just keep going, you know. And I so I'll have a little pep talk to myself. You know, and if I do sit down to do something, then I'm going like, okay, it's only going to be a short period of time. Let's get back up. You know, so I don't relish being, a slug at all, but it just kind of seemed to be a comfortable place to be for a while.
I want to put a pin in that for sure because nobody wants to grieve. Okay, but it is an emotion that we have when we lose someone. And being kind enough to yourself to give yourself the low energy time you need while you're grieving is absolutely fine. Okay. So let's not judge it as being a slug or being, you know, anything less than what we are. What you are is a human who's lost her mom, who's missing her. Right. And we don't grieve if we don't love. It's like if you love hard, you're going to miss her hard. So, and that's okay. That's part of our full color lives, our emotional lives that we are blessed with, right? We are blessed with these emotions. We just have to learn how to care for ourselves while we're feeling them. Okay.
Yeah, that I thought I was, there was such a cloud that was sitting on my shoulders that I couldn't even get up, you know. And now I feel like there's more of a spark, that's for sure. But I just don't want to go back to that point, you know, because it's
Well, here's the other thing about grieving. It is not a linear process. Okay? It's messy. Grieving can be messy. You might hit the holidays this year and the cloud come back for a little bit. You might, I don't know, be walking down the street and the cloud come back for a little bit. All of that is okay. The best thing for you to do is just recognize it as this is a day I miss my mom more. And give yourself the grace to have a low energy day if that's what happens. It's okay. You know, grieving is like a, I don't know, I saw this meme one time where we think grieving is like, I'm getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better, right? I'm not feeling it, not feeling it. And what it is, it looks like this great big cobweb of, you know, mess. Where sometimes you feel okay and sometimes you don't. And that's okay too. So giving yourself the grace to feel whatever comes in and just be okay with it and journal about it and be kind to yourself about it is exactly what's needed here. Yeah.
Like
Grief is messy and hard. It can be.
my son passed away when he was 25, and my mom and my son were very, very close. And so, you know, I've been with grief for quite a few years, and I think this what it's done is just kind of reattached itself together.
Yeah.
And it's a different kind of grief. So it's, you know, it's new to me, as you know, as it should be, but I'm familiar with grief and a deep grief of someone that really meant, you know, everything to you know, so.
And I would offer you that I would suspect that the grief you felt after you lost your son is feels a little bit different. Your process was a little bit different than it will be after losing your mom. If you've lost a friend, it might even look different. If your house burned down, it might even look different. We grieve all kinds of things in different ways. We just need to be okay with that. And we need to just check in and say, what kind of care do I need today? Because I'm not feeling really good. I feel down. What kind of care do I need? Okay. And that's really important for you because of that comment. I don't like feeling like a slug. Right?
Well, that's what I mean. That's so. I mean, after a couple of weeks, I'm going like, "Oh my goodness, you know, what is this?" And that's the thing that came up, you know. And then at the same time, which is really even, I don't know, it just kind of blew me away now that I think about it, is that one of my really best friends, she just kind of stepped away, and it's like I can't handle this, and stopped talking. And be, I mean, we did so many, you know, we'd spend all our holidays together and do things, and she just walked away, and it's just like, where, you know, I didn't even think about it till actually right now. I'm going like, of all the times I needed her was then, but she.
Well, one of the things that we need when we grieve is someone to hear us. And listen to us, kind of like Lizzie did for you. Therapist can do, a best friend can do, a partner, anybody like that. Sometimes we need, it's called connection. We need someone to co-regulate with us, someone who can hold us while we cry and listen to our stories. That's why, you know, when I don't know, here in the mainland, you probably do it there too. We got the funeral home, right? Everybody comes to the funeral home. You get to tell all the stories. That's so healing for people because it creates a connection over the loss and a co-regulation opportunity over feeling that loss. So when your friend backed out, of course you felt bad. Let's just normalize that because that was a connection point that you were needing at that time. So I would encourage you to find another connection point, whether it's, you know, a friend, a partner,
Has been
family.
very he's kind of he's not smothering, but he's there as the understanding friend, should I say, because he is one of my best friends. And just know that when I he you know I he'd come home and he'd just look at me and he's like, okay, let's see what we can do, instead of being judgmental. There was no judgment, which was really kind of shocking from him, but there wasn't. And he just went through it with me. And I mean, it's not ever going to be over, but for those couple months, he was there for me. And then, but what can I do now? I mean, it's like I'm not even okay. I have not done a plan except the other day, 4 months. What I do write is what I'm eating. I haven't wrote a plan for my plan. And
Okay. How do you feel? Are you ready to ride plans again? Are you ready to take hold of your weight loss again? Are you, well, let me ask you this. Are you waiting for hunger and stopping it enough?
that's the thing, it is I'm starting to, I feel like I'm the lights are starting to twinkle on that again. I've especially since this past month was for enough,
Yeah.
and just working on that and splitting things and bite time and the half method. And God, I didn't realize how big a portions I was making.
Yeah.
So I was cutting them down to like a fourth, and that was enough. But
Yeah. So I would continue that work for sure. That work on enough. I would add waiting for hunger to eat. And then if you want to make a plan, you can, but I would certainly write things down that you ate and how you did. Because, like I told Kelly when we began, when you can start looking for trends, when you can start seeing what you're eating at what time and when you're not stopping it enough or when you're not waiting for hunger, you know what your next level work is. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome. You got this. And we've got you. You need anything, you hit us up and ask coaches, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Right. Kari, Carrie, you have to tell me how to say your name. You're next.
Hello, it's Carrie.
Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Yeah.
I've just finished 4 months of chemo treatment for cancer, and I'm cancer free, so everything's good.
Amazing. Two hands in the air. Congratulations.
During that, I did not set a lot of expectations for myself, because, I wanted to obviously focus on the cancer treatment. I was hoping that I would stay consistent with my weight, which I actually did. I think that eating to enough and eating when hungry, I was able to keep that going all throughout. So what I would appreciate help with is getting back to the four basics. I wanted to kind of say where I'm at right now today. So with water, there is a little bit of a PTSD linkage between the chemo treatment and water. I have talked to a psychiatrist at Fred Hutch, and he has me doing some. We kind of th I thought about no BS and the small steps, like doing small steps to push through the anxiety that it triggers. And I've actually done pretty well. So right now, where I'm at is I can drink water. If I put something in it, like I've been putting shrub, I don't know if you've familiar shrubs.
One of those squeeze drop things.
Well, it's just like it's a fruit based, and then I don't know, it turns to it has sugar in it, turns to a little bit of vinegar. It's sort of kind of healthy, a bit, I don't know. But in any case, regardless of anything else, you can drink just flat water. Otherwise, I can drink fizzy water for sure. It's just hard to get enough fizzy water because that's kind of a
It's more
lot.
filling, isn't it? It's
It
more.
is more filling. I thank
I
you for
think it's the
saying that.
bubbles. I think it's the bubbles in it. I love fizzy water. I would drink like Pellegrino or something like that all the time, but I find it to be a little bit more filling because of the bubbles in it.
Yes, I agree. And so I've been trying to cut back on the fizzy water, even though I'm drinking it right now.
Well,
Because,
maybe you drink a couple of fizzy waters a day, just not all of them, or something like that.
I
Okay.
agree. I
Okay.
agree. And so,
So how much do you think you get between that and a
ugh, not enough. And that's one of
but
the
what
issues.
I don't know what that means. Tell me what
So
that
I would probably say I'm getting 8 times 3, maybe 25 ounces, 24
All
ounces.
right. Did when you pee, does your urine run clear or is it bright yellow? It's bright yellow.
It's pretty yellow.
Okay.
It's not bright, but it's not clear. No.
I would really work with that therapist on increasing your water. And here's why. If it's pretty bright yellow, you might be a little dehydrated, and that's not good for you.
I
As
agree.
a cancer survivor person that's had kidney stones and all that stuff.
Oh, geez. Well, and that's another thing. Yeah, I had kidney stones like
Yes,
6 months
girl.
ago, and now they're saying, because with the PET scan, they said, oh, it looks like you have kidney stones.
You have got to get that water up.
I know. It's like,
You've
oh
got to
my
figure it out.
gosh.
Now here's I'm gonna give you another treat to put in your water, okay? Get some of that real lemon or real lime juice and squeeze that in there, either in the bubbly or the regular. Because if your kidney stones are the most common, that's the word I want, oxalates, the citric acid, your body needs citric acid to help break them up.
Okay, cool. I have no idea, but does the calm have that in it or no?
Does what?
The calm, that calm.
I don't know. I don't. Is it like a water additive? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a water additive. It's CALM.
I don't.
Well, in any case, I'll do the real lemon and the real lime because I did not know that
Yeah,
actually.
yeah, yeah. That's really good stuff for you. And honestly, the shrub water, if it's got sugar in it, is probably not hydrating you as well as it didn't have sugar in it. But oh, Natural Calm, Vern says. That's got a lot of magnesium in
It
it.
does. It does.
Yeah, for me, I would only drink that at night because that kind of like makes me feel restful. But anyway,
But I
really
agree.
work on getting that water in so that because you know what kidney stones feel like if you've had
I
them.
know it's horrid.
It's some of the worst. It was worse than childbirth for me. Anyway, okay.
Well, I actually had to have surgery because it got so big that they had to go in and break it up.
Me too. Oh, mine didn't. Look, we could talk offline. Mine didn't break up. I had to be stented twice to get.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. So we've agreed that you need to work on water and that you need to add a little bit of citric acid. Okay.
I completely agree. Are there any baby steps to that? Because we established, so it really had to start from the beginning. Like I had to start with carrying my, because I had a big thermos cup thing. It was first just carrying around empty, and then it was carrying it around full, and then it was carrying it around and putting my lips up. Like we baby stepped. And so I am in a good, I do feel like I'm in a good place with that. I think it's just now increasing the volume.
So just maybe instead of, do you drink out of a straw?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say drinking out of a straw always gets more in for me. So maybe when you take a sip, maybe you take a sip and a half or two
Okay.
sips
Okay.
or something like that, some little step like that. And keep looking for things that are easy for you to drink, that
Yeah,
flavor
I agree.
in a way that are easy, that's easy for you to drink. I don't have PTSD around water, but plain water does not light my fire. I'm just gonna be honest. Okay. That's why I told you I know about the real lemon and the real lime, because I'm
Okay.
always putting something in my water so that, it gives me a little bit of.
And those are the little packages, right? That's what you're talking about.
I'm actually talking about like lemon juice, like from the store.
Oh, okay,
You unscrew the top and you squirt a little bit in lemon and lime juice like that. Oh, somebody, Dana says it's easier for her to drink out of a metal than a plastic cup.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and
I actually lost my sippy cup this weekend.
I prefer a metal cup too. It keeps it colder, and plastics are not good for us as cancer survivors.
Yeah, I think mine was metal. It was metal, actually, but I lost
All right. So keep
it
working on the water for sure. How's your
this weekend. So that's another problem. The chemo pushed me into full menopause. I was definitely perimenopause before that, but I had like zero symptoms. And so I don't know if it's stress. It could be stress or it could be menopause. But I fall asleep easily, I'm like exhausted, fall asleep. And then I wake up around 2, maybe, thinking it's morning. And it's 2. And that is a new thing for me. So that I also did mention that to the psychiatrist. And what he suggested is if you're laying there for too long, you need to get up because bed should be for sleep. And he suggested just get up, go sit in a chair, maybe read a few pages of a magazine, and then try and get back to sleep.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
Induce light, and your brain is going to be like, oh, yeah, it is. It is daytime.
Yeah, and yeah.
So, I mean, for me, I wake up, y'all, I wake up 5, 6 times a night. I mean, seriously, that's a good night. All right. Sometimes it's every hour. I am also postmenopausal, post breast cancer, with an estrogen blocker. So I have no estrogen, I have no hormones. Which jacks my sleep. Okay. So I lay there and I might pull a sleep story out on my phone. I might listen to a meditation. I might repeat a prayer over and over if you're a churchgoer. But my favorite trick is to go through the alphabet and name something for each letter that I'm grateful for.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There is something about gratitude that is the antidote for so many things, regret, anxiety. It focuses your brain in a place that hits a little bit of a happy place for you.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be like big, huge things. A can be apples or avocados. Okay. So try something like that before getting out of bed.
Okay.
And the other thing I do, Carrie, is I talk about my bed like it is the best thing ever. I love my sheets. I love my pillow. I want to snuggle into my bed. If I could work from my bed, I would laying down in my bed. I would do that because I have created a relationship with my bed that is all about comfort and ease. So on those nights when I wake up and have to roll over or go to the bathroom or lay there for a little while, go back to sleep, I'm not stressing about being in bed. I am loving being in my bed. Okay.
Because what I've like last night I woke up at 2 and I did end up putting what I usually do is listen to Corinne's lessons or whatever, and
Oh.
it does help me to fall asleep actually.
Was it really? Oh
Yeah, it
okay, well, if that
does.
works for you, that's fine.
And then I wake up and I'm like, oh. I did not listen to much of that because I fell asleep.
What it probably does, honestly, is focus your brain on one
It
thing
does, I
other
think.
than ping, ping, ping. So that's fine if that works for you. That's funny. There's people in the chat talking about the Calm app and sleep meditations, all that kind of stuff. So
I
you
do have the Calm app, and sometimes I do that. It's just it kind of goes back to finding one of the stories that works, and so then my brain gets a little busy, just doing that.
Well, think about A to Z gratitude and a love affair with your bed, how much you love your bed.
Yeah, I'll think about both of those.
All right. And I'll tell you, sleep and water are, if you can nail those two, you are ready for it. Those two support everything else you do. Well hydrated, your body feels good. When you're well rested, your body feels good. You are much more likely to eat when hungry and stop at enough. Because you have a lot of other junk going on, your body feels good, and that's what's so important about sleep and water. So for you, that's where I would re-engage first. Tuesday.
Yeah, because I was going to say I'm planning. No, I have not been planning. But honestly, every single day I make a mental plan in the morning anyways. It's just the way I've done things for quite a while. And 90% of the time I do that plan. And then as far as eating when hungry and stopping enough, I definitely am eating when hungry. My stopping enough, I'm going to have to recalibrate because right now I'm certainly kind of doing it for maintenance, not necessarily intentionally.
Not intentional maintenance, but if you're maintaining your weight, you're definitely eating to maintenance. Okay. Yeah. So
But
calibrate or just pay attention.
yeah, I agree.
I think we all talk about, oh, I got to recalibrate my enough. And that gives us like a whole nother month to overeat, to think about, where's enough? Why don't we just like start eating and listen to our brains?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Let's
Okay.
put the fast forward button on that for you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Oh, I have one more thing though. My accountability partner, like we kind of both started just talking like weekly instead of daily. And like she has apologize. She's like, I haven't, in her opinion, she hasn't been a very good partner. And I'm like, no, that's not true. And then I certainly haven't been touching base with her every day because of what's been going on. But I'd like that to be better too.
Do you want to make it better with her, or do you want a new?
Yeah, as far as like maybe what I could do is tell her that my water goal and my sleep goal is this and this, and start having a daily touch basis on those two things.
Think that's what you have to do.
Okay.
You're going to know if this partnership is going to work out in the long term, is tell her what you need and ask her if she can fill that for you. Is that something to mind? If I Marco Polo you every evening and let you know how my sleep and water are. And she'll tell you yes or no.
Yeah, for sure.
I bet you there's a whole passel full of women who would like to step in her place if you need them.
That
All you
sounds
got to do
good.
is post in the Facebook group.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Thank
Look,
you.
Lorraine, I got some thumbs up going on here. So you said this. All right.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Really excited for you that you're cancer free, and I love how you are re-engaging now with taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and I appreciate this call. Thank you.
You're welcome. See you soon. Okay, we got one more hand. Liz, let's do you real quick before we get out of here. Are you coming? Maybe I didn't hit the button. This is so weird, y'all. Oh, she declined. Okay. So, Liz, if you need something, go ahead and pop it into Ask Coaches, and we can help you there since you declined. Your hand must have been raised by accident. All right. Anybody have anything else? I don't see anything in the chat. Kind of got my eye on it a little bit. If you need me at all, hit me up and ask coaches, tag me in the Facebook group, come back to this call next month, whatever it is you need. Any of us coaches, that's why we're here. Okay? That's why we're here. We love being supportive to you all. So have a good night, and I will see you soon. All right. Take care.